You ever have watched a movie with warfare, read about it, etc., you know that before a battle takes place, there's a lull. There's a moment of silence where you see the men, the soldiers, getting ready to enter into the fray, to enter into battle. You see them often praying. In the same way, I thought of my own diaconate retreat right prior to my ordination to the diaconate, of that I was up on this mountain up above the city of Rome, and you could look out into the valley, see the city of Rome, see St. Peter's Basilica, where we were going to be ordained. That at every evening at sunset, a group of us would go out silently, because it's a silent retreat, you don't talk to anybody for 5 days. It's glorious. It really is. You don't have to talk for 5 days, you just talk to God. Okay, but we'd go out there at sunset and we'd look out into the valley. We'd look out at St. Peter's and just stare out there in that lull, in that moment before we were to enter into battle. And today's readings continue to speak about that persistent prayer, that our first reading of the Israelites going into battle particularly depicts prayer quite powerfully. It gives us some very fundamental things to learn about prayer. That reading goes and starts out, in those days, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. None of us like problems. But one good thing about problems is that they help us to keep praying. Israel was at war. Their enemies were stronger than them. And it was a time to pray. In the same way, today's gospel concerns a widow who is troubled about something. This problem keeps her coming back to the judge, persisting in her asking that judge for a sentence. Sometimes God allows us to have problems in order to keep us praying. Problems also keep us humble, remind us of our need for God and for others. Problems aren't the only reason to pray, though, but they are an important motivator. It shouldn't be necessary for us to have problems before we pray. But if we're honest, we'll probably admit that they certainly have a way of summoning us to prayer, of showing us that priority of prayer. That there we see our reading continue. Moses therefore said to Joshua, pick out certain men, and tomorrow go out and engage Amalek in battle. I will be standing on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him. He engaged Amalek in battle after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. Notice that Joshua and the army did not go forth into battle until after Moses took up his position of prayer. The prayer ought to precede any major decision, any major action in our lives. That often, if you think about it, we rush into things without praying. That we should each day begin with prayer. Important decisions should also elicit prayer from us. Prayer needs to come first. It has priority over everything else. Too many people use prayer as kind of a rear guard action through which they ask God to clean up the messes they've already gone and made. That we end up doing a lot of things we shouldn't because we didn't pray first. We also end up doing things poorly that prayer might have clarified or enriched, made it possible for us to do better, given us that strength to carry out that great work God wants us to do. Prayer isn't just asking for this or that specific thing. Prayer involves an ongoing relationship with God, through which we gradually begin to receive a new mind, a new heart. Our vision and our priorities are clarified. They're purified. That the new mind and heart that we receive through prayer and our study of the faith are an essential part of that prayer that precedes decisions and actions. That it's through persisting in that prayer, having that priority, that we come to then understand the power of prayer. Then in our reading, we go and see, as long as Moses kept his hands up in prayer, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. That as long as Moses prayed, Israel got the better of the battle. They were winning the battle. But when fatigue caused his prayer to diminish, Israel began to lose. That prayer changes things. We've seen this in our history as Christians. That this month, we remember especially the rosary. Well, we remember the rosary because during this month, back on October 7th, we celebrated the feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Victories. That it was on October 7th that we celebrated a great victory Christianity had. That the Ottoman Empire was seeking to invade Christianity, Europe. Seeking to invade Europe, to take over Italy and Rome, to conquer the Pope. And so the Pope summoned the Christianity, summoned the different Christian countries to come to his aid, to come to the aid of the faith. And you would think, normally, they all would answer. The Pope has called. But they didn't all answer. France didn't answer. England didn't answer. Northern Europe did not answer. Only Spain and the Venetians answered his call. They were greatly outnumbered. And so the Pope, realizing how greatly outnumbered his naval forces were going to be, beseeched everyone to pray the rosary. He even led a rosary procession there through the city, asking Our Lady to intercede on their behalf. Forth went the great army, the Holy League, to battle against the Ottoman Turks, to hopefully defeat them, to turn them aside, to save Christianity from being conquered. That the Pope didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but trusted Our Lady, trusted in our rosary. And it's through that, through the power of the rosary, that victory took place against the great odds, against the wind being against their favor in that naval battle originally. That the Pope had a vision at the end of the battle, there miles away, days away of travel, there in the city of Rome, had a vision of that victory, was able to turn and announce that celebration, establishing the feast that we have celebrated this month already, knowing this is the power of prayer. That here in this world, we may never fully know how our prayers have helped change history, like has happened already with the Battle of Lepanto. But I'm sure that one of the joys of heaven will be to see what difference our prayers, even the distracted and poor ones, made in history on other people. That in heaven, we will tell stories of the power of prayer. We'll be able to appreciate the difference it made for us and for others. But for now, much of this is hidden from our eyes. But one day, we will see a glorious vision. We'll see with what God has seen, what prayer has accomplished, prayed to Him. I suppose, too, that one of the pangs of purgatory might be to see how our failure to pray had negative effects. How it was only God's mercy that overruled our laziness. That in our first reading, Moses struggles to pray, and so do we. The remembering prayer's power is an important motivator to keep us on our knees, to keep us at our beats, praying. That in doing that, we need to remember not to pray alone. That we see Moses growing tired in his prayer. That Aaron and Moses support him, hold his hands up in that prayer, on each side of him. That Moses knew that because of that, he needed that assistance from Aaron and Hur. They all prayed together. And once again, Israel was strengthened and regained the upper hand. That prayer is not supposed to be merely a solitary experience. That while personal prayer is important, is necessary, so is communal, so is group prayer. That the Lord says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Hence, we are taught to gather in prayer liturgically, as we are here today at Mass, then also to have people to pray with, because prayer is so essential, and we are individually so weak that we ought not to have it all depend solely on us individually. That we need our own Aaron, our own Hur, to support us in prayer, to help make up for our weakness. That's what our families can be for, to pray together as a family. A great way to do it, a simple way to pray as a family, is simply to say grace before meals. It's a very simple way to pray together, to be together in that moment of prayer, or to have friends who can help you to pray. Not only to pray, but also to walk uprightly in your Catholic faith. That Scripture says, "Woe to the solitary man, For if he should fall, he has no one to lift him up. A lonely man may be overcome. Two together can resist. That we don't want to pray alone. We don't want to journey alone. Let us turn to our family. Let us turn to our friends to accompany us in our prayer, in our journey of faith. That means that we have to then persist in our prayer. That we see Moses, Aaron, and Hur up there and remaining steady until sunset. That with Aaron and Hur there to help him, he prays for the rest of the day. They pray right up to the end of the battle. And so must we. There's a mystery. Ask why God sometimes makes us wait to pray on anyways. That we may get frustrated by the delay. We need to pray on anyways. That we may get fatigued, even lose heart at times in our prayer. We need to still persist and pray on anyways. That like Moses, we need our friends to help us. That we must continue to pray. To pray and pray and pray. And we can think about sometimes during this past couple of weeks, these last 3 weeks of postseason baseball, that sometimes the Nationals have been behind in their games, and we've started to be very persistent in our prayers, or that they've had those eighth-inning comebacks. We've been sweating our bullets, wondering if they're going to win. Well, now they're off to the World Series. It's a great thing. But we need to also be like the woman in today's gospel, who kept coming to that judge until he rendered justice for her. The widow in the parable receives her request. And she was persistent in her request. That we ought to be equally constant in prayer. There's actually some humor in the Greek that's not so evident in our English translation. That the judge gives in our English because he's afraid she's going to go and strike him. Okay, but what it actually goes and says is that she fears that she's going to go and give him a black eye, is what the Greek actually goes and says. That Jesus uses the metaphor from boxing, of punching somebody in the eye, giving them a black eye, to make his point about the need to continually pray. That we need to be persistent as a boxer in the ring, waiting for that last strike, waiting for that knockout. When it comes to pray, that we need to be like Moses, Aaron, and Hur, praying until sunset. Because it's through doing all this that we will discover the product of prayer. That Joshua mowed down Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. That the text says that Israel's enemies were utterly defeated. That this shows the product, the power of persistent prayer. Well, very well, you might say. But what about those unanswered prayers in my life? This is always a mystery that we leave ultimately in the hands of God. Because we believe that prayer is always answered, although perhaps not in the way we have hoped. However, God sees the overall plan. He knows exactly what is best for us. We may sometimes have to wait until we are in heaven to see that overall plan, to see what God actually had for best for us, to know what that was. That God knows better than us for what we need in this life. Luke demonstrates this when he writes that the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Whereas Matthew goes and tells us that we read that the Father will give good things to those who ask. We may not see and fully understand the results of our prayer on this side of life. But on glory's side one day, we will. That we may not need God to mow down foreign armies anymore. But how about enemies like fear, illness, sin? That yes, we have enemies, and God will answer our prayers to help us defeat our enemies, to help us defeat temptation and Satan. That we need to pray and wait for the product of prayer. That this is the mission God has given for us as we celebrate the Sunday Mission Sunday. As a result of it being Mission Sunday, Father Saunders and I have two books for you all. One per family. First, because we've been talking about prayer, we have a little book of prayers for you all, My Treasured Catholic Prayers. You could take. And then also we have a letter to a suffering church by Bishop Robert Barron for you all to take to remind you of the mission that we are about in our church. the prayer that we need to have in our church, that we are a people of God. And being a people of God, we are a people that pray.